Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Now, the question is, does God need your money? Or do greedy preachers need your money? We're going to talk about some of these things today. Now, it's always amazing to turn on what they call Christian television, which they've long ago sold out, and there's not much Christian about it. And the other day, I'm surfing, channel surfing, and I like to surf sometimes around the so-called Christian networks just to see what they're saying on those networks. And I was very amazed to find out that now, if you send Benny Hinn a seed faith offering, you can actually get romance. Wow. How do you like that? Isn't that amazing? He had three things that he was offering, and one of them was romance. Now, that doesn't really sound like the Holy Spirit to me at all. I remember years ago when a friend of mine attended a Mike Murdoch meeting, and he was asking people to sow $58, and then they were supposed to write on their check what they were believing God for, and she wrote on her check that she was believing God for a husband. So how do you like that? A few months went by, and she got a husband. And she stood up in front of the church, and she showed off her new husband, and she said that she got him for $58 at a Mike Murdoch meeting. So let me tell you what happened with the $58 husband. He wound up in prison. They wound up divorced. She wound up losing her house and everything she owned. So let it be a word of caution. Don't go looking for romance from Benny Hinn or Mike Murdoch or anybody else, because you're not sowing your seed to God, because God does not need any money. He doesn't have any money in heaven. We need money. And you're really giving it to Mike Murdoch or Benny Hinn or Rod Parsley or Paula White. You're really giving the money to them. God has nothing to do with it. We give money to each other to bless each other, so we don't give money to God. He called it filthy lucre, and he doesn't have any money in heaven. He never used money to create the universe, so it's a means of exchange that we have on the earth, and it's very useful, but we're going to find out today with my guest Ron Roby. We're going to find out, does God curse you? Does God sit up in heaven and he's angry? He watches everything you do as far as offerings are concerned, and he sits up there with a stick and a book, and he writes in his book that he notices that you gave 10% to your church. He writes it down, and then if you're good and you give the right amount, 10% to your church, and then you sow seeds, then you know, somehow, some way, God is going to look down upon you with favor. It doesn't matter what else you're doing in your life, but as long as you're sowing seeds, and tithing, then God is obligated. This is what the false teachers teach. Then, you know, God is obligated to give you a blessing. Well, God is not obligated to do anything for us except save our souls. So, hallelujah. Hello, Ron.
Hello, Susan. How are you today? God bless
good.
You.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate your...
Thank you for inviting me on to the program today. I know this subject has probably been spoken of on many occasions, but hopefully what we say today may enlighten some of the hearers and cause them to get into their Bible and be as the Bereans and search the scriptures to see if these things are so.
Yes, that is very important because, as we have noticed, many of us, there is a famine of the Word of God on the television networks. Most of the people have long ago put aside their Bible and they just make things up. The Bible talks about fables, cunningly devised fables. And so we're seeing so much of that, people making things up. And it's all geared toward getting into your wallet. And so they can build a bigger church. I'm not opposed to people going to a building and having a nice church building, but I'm opposed to the way they get it. And I think we just have to be honest with people and quit all the con games and just tell people like it is. I need some money. And just tell it like it is. Don't make it like, you know, super spiritual and all that. Just say, I need some money here to build a new building. I need some money to pay the light bill. I want to have a nice parsonage, so I need some money. And I need a car, so I need some money. Just don't overemphasize that this is some kind of a spiritual thing. The Bible says that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, so we're supposed to be givers naturally as Christians. Like, if you're not a giver naturally, if you don't give from your heart, but you only give because you want something, then I want to know, are you saved? anyway.
That would be a good question, Susan, as to whether they are saved or not. You know, Paul told Timothy in one place to examine, that the people were to examine themselves whether they were in the faith.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know,
yeah. Yeah, because it doesn't take any faith. No, it does not take any faith to sit down. This is not faith to sit down. You spend an hour watching Mike Murdoch. Don't let him in your house. Look, if you're weak, don't let Mike Murdoch in your house. Don't let Benny Hinn in your house. Don't let TBN in your house. Just Daystar, all of them. Just don't let him in your house if you have a weak moment, and especially if you have a need, because they'll get you. They'll get you, and if you're not, like we're saying, if you're not in the Word, because that doesn't require any faith to sit down and to write a check to a greedy preacher. That's not faith. Faith is seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other
Amen.
Things will be added unto you. And so that's faith. That's trusting God to meet your needs. You don't have to buy his favor with dollar bills and seed faith offerings and all that. I never had to give my mother one penny or my father to do anything for me. I just never had to pay them off. So how much more does God love us? And so there's this teaching. And we're hearing a lot of this, Ron, and I know that there's a, and I wish I could remember his name right now, but I know he's James Robison's pastor, and he's got a big church there in Texas, but he's been on lately talking about how God is going to curse you. You are cursed if you don't give me 10% of your money here. If you want to come to church here now, you better give 10%, otherwise you are cursed. Now, Ron, is that true?
Susan, it isn't. You know, and I was under that same, if we can call it, condemnation at one point in time.
Yeah, me
myself,
too, yeah.
And the church that I was in, the pastor had delivered, the last sermon I heard him speak, he delivered a sermon called Some Say Not Guilty, and he asked the congregation in the sermon, you know, you say you can't afford to tithe. Well, let me ask you this. Can you afford to be cursed? And you see what that does, that puts a person in a state of fear. And the Bible tells us in the Word of God that fear is not of God.
Yeah.
Not that type of fear anyway.
Yeah.
God is the God of a sound mind and love and joy.
Yeah.
You know, and mercy.
A sound
and
mind.
Mercy. Yep.
Yeah. Mercy. Yeah. Amen to that. So what from your own experience now at the church there, for people that don't haven't heard your testimony, just give a brief description of what happened to you at church. So then how did what was the tithing thing?
Well, I had been a member of the church for 7 years, my wife and I, and we heard the tithing message several times. I think this is the only time that I actually heard him say, can you afford to be cursed? Although he implied it in his other messages in different manners. But and I had never tithed to that church in the whole 7 years I've been there. The reason I hadn't tithed is because God revealed to me back in 1988 that the monetary tithe requirement that pastors teach today is not of God. It is not found anywhere in Scripture. Therefore, it is totally foreign to Scripture. And a lot of people don't realize this.
What you're saying, because Jesus never collected tithes.
No, he didn't. There's no record of, Jesus couldn't have collected tithes even if he had tithing exchanges in his group. He couldn't have collected tithes because he was not a Levite. He was of the tribe of Judah. Now, it's true that in the book of Hebrews we see where the scripture says, here men that die receive tithes, but or pay tithes, but there he receiveth them. A lot of people confuse that and say, okay, well, that means that we're supposed to tithe. But what we need to do is we need to allow Scripture to interpret Scripture.
Yeah.
And the book of Hebrews in chapter 7, verse 5, is the interpreting verse for verse 8. Chapter 7 and verse 5 tells us that those men that take tithes are actually the Levites, the sons of Levi. It says they that receive the sons of Levi that receive the office of the priesthood have a command to take tithes of their brethren according to the law. And, of course, what the scripture says there, according to the law, you have to go back into the law to find out what that tithe was. And the law, according to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 through 33, establishes what God required as a tithe of the brethren of Levi, other tribes of Israel. That tithe was not monetary at all. It was agricultural. It was the seed of the land, the fruit of the tree, and every tenth animal that passed under the herb, under the rod.
Yeah, so if your pastor is asking for tithes, then please go out and buy him a bag of groceries and bring it over to the church. That's what tithing is. That's what tithing always was, and you can't change it. That is not faith. If a pastor is going to stand up in a pulpit and teach faith, and he can't live by faith himself, and he demands that you pay him 10% in order to attend, then you need to leave. Because
exactly,
he doesn't
exactly
know the word himself. So what is he going to teach you this is what I'm telling people, and I'm standing, I have taken this stand in my own life, is that if there's a preacher that I like, and he's doing this manipulating to get offerings, and he can't live by faith himself, I don't want to hear that preacher. You can't teach me anything. So I'm turning them off, and that's what we need to do. We need to just tell people to turn them off and quit supporting them, and maybe they'll go away. So, Ron, now, you were in this church for 7 years, and then
yes.
What happened?
Well, the Lord gave me freedom to speak, not in the church itself, but actually out on the street, and also in my home on the on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
The Lord gave me the boldness to speak out the truth concerning what His holy tithe truly was. And when I began to speak out on it, the church, some of the members of the church were on my Facebook account, and so they saw it. And they apparently took it back before the whole church, and the church had a meeting, a secret meeting. They didn't invite me and my wife. That's why I say it's secret, because we were members of the church. By all rights, we should have been invited so that we could at least defend ourselves.
Answer the questions, yeah. Right,
yeah.
Defend yourself, right.
So, you know, even a criminal in today's court system gets a better trial than I got.
Yeah, yeah, I've been there.
But they sent me an email 2 days after the meeting telling me that they had had the meeting and that they had decided that we were no longer members of the church by unanimous
Ooh.
Vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and until we repent of our unbiblical teaching of the biblical tithe, we were not welcome back.
Oh, wow.
And, mm-hmm. you know, the funny thing is I've emailed them and I asked them, you know, well, show me the scripture where it says that God required us to tithe money to the house of God. I've challenged many pastors over the years. And not one has been able to give me scripture that says that we're supposed to tithe our money. I've even told them I'll sign over and I didn't tell my wife, or I didn't ask my wife, but and she's the only driver because I'm blind, but she and I have a Pathfinder, and I've told people, you know, if you can give me the scripture that shows we are supposed to tithe, I'll write you a check for $1,000, and I'll give you our Pathfinder.
Yeah. Amen.
If you
find the scripture, because I have not found it myself. I never found it. I know some people say, well, it's a tenth, so it's a tenth of everything. But I never found any scripture where tithing was money. So what about that? Ron, if they required a tenth, then is a tenth money too?
Well, the only time that the tenth was money, we find that in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 24 and 25. The Bible tells us that the second tithe, which is known as the festival tithe, the farmer or herder, the one that was tithing, was to take his tithe to a place that God chose, and he was to celebrate there before the Lord and eat his tithe. Now, that right there proves that the tithe itself was not money at all. But the Bible says that if the way is too far for him, or if the tithe is too heavy to carry, then he can sell that tithe for money. He can exchange it for money.
For whatever
money
his soul lusteth after, forever, for whatever
right.
his soul, even wine, it said.
Right, but see, if you notice that scripture, it does not say take the money and give it to the church.
No.
It doesn't say take it and give it to the tabernacle, or take it and give it to the synagogue, the temple, the mosque, or anywhere else.
Yeah.
It says to take the money to the place that God chose and buy the tithe back. You buy the food that you want to celebrate before the Lord, and you eat it yourself with your family.
Yeah, well, they don't ever tell you that. I mean, did any pastor ever tell you that you could spend your tithe? that you could eat your tithe? And I never heard anybody say that.
Right, and then every third year they were supposed to give that tithe away to the widows, the orphans, the Levites, and the foreigners that were in Israel.
Don't see that. No, what you see with all these seed faith gifts and tithing thing is the pastor buys a jet, and he buys a mansion, and he buys a Rolls Royce, and you're riding a bicycle.
Now, we need to look at something real quick. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is important because this shows where, and it's not just Deuteronomy 6, it's elsewhere too. We could go into Deuteronomy chapter 12 in verse 10 and 11. But Deuteronomy 6 clearly shows that the commandments of the Lord were not to be followed or observed or kept until the Israelites crossed over the Jordan and entered into Canaan. It says now, it's just the first three verses, it says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. It says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I have commanded thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now here's the verse. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord of God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Now he said it must be done, and he said who was supposed to do it. He said it was Israel that was supposed to do it. He didn't say Gentile nations. He said Israel. But he goes on to say, and he says in the last part of that verse, third verse, he says, in the land that floweth with milk and honey, in the land, as the Lord God of thy fathers promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. That was the land of Canaan. They were not supposed to cross, to start obeying the commandments of the Lord until they crossed over the Jordan. And we can see that in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, rather.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Tithing was not supposed to be observed anywhere on Gentile soil. God's command was that it was not supposed to happen until they crossed over Jordan and entered into the land flowing with milk and honey.
Any of us doing that.
Exactly. Are any of us living in the land of milk and honey? Now, America has been a blessed nation. America has been a blessed nation, and they are blessed above a lot of nations. That's for sure. We have many things
true.
That other nations don't have. But we certainly are not blessed to the extent that Canaan was blessed at the time that they crossed over Jordan.
Yeah. So after you got the, as they say, the left foot of fellowship out of your loving church there, what happened after that? Did you ever see the pastor that you knew for 7 years or any of the people from the church, or were you shunned?
Well, we pretty much are shunned. We bumped into a couple of them at the local Walmart, and they act like we were strangers, you know. I mean, they were nice. They were cordial, but, it was like, howdy, stranger, how y'all doing? We ain't seen you in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like nothing happened. It's all our fault that we're gone. But the funny thing is these same people that said, howdy, stranger, are some of the people that were in that meeting that kicked us out of the church. So they're the ones that caused us to be a stranger.
Yeah. Well, to me, I know I've tried to explain this subject in the past to people. And now I have not tithed myself since 1997, and I have not sowed a seed since 1997. And so I have to confess that I am more blessed now than I ever was when I was always trying to buy God's favor. I was trying to pay him off and make him happy and all of that. And because, that scripture you read, And I find it very odd that these preachers on TV, most of them, and I'll name a few, Mike Murdoch, Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley, Paula White, Juanita Bynum, The Word Network, Marcus and Joni Lamb on Daystar, God TV. Yeah, it's Robert Norris, his name is, the guy that's James Robinson's pastor. And I find it very odd that these people all say the same thing. Now, I'm thinking to myself, they must all be attending, like, are they in a coven? Like, are they in this group, this secret society or something, where they meet and they plan on how can we destroy Christianity? And they're doing a very good job of it, because one of the best ways to destroy Christianity is to get people's eyes off of Jesus and to get it on prosperity. How can I get more things for myself? And so, now, there's nothing wrong with wanting a better house or a better car or a better job. No, there's nothing wrong with that. But what is wrong is that they are teaching you to be selfish. They are, that's not Christian. They are teaching you that the only reason you give is to get something for yourself. So they tell you, if you have a need, then you need to sow a seed. Or if you have a need, maybe you're not tithing. That is not true. It's not true. That's not even Christian. There's nothing Christian about that. So who are these people?
Well, they're deceivers. That's the thing. You know, the thing is that the Bible shows that some people were deceived and some people are also being deceived. Or they're deceiving and being deceived. And that's where you can put a lot of these pastors that are teaching the tithing message to their congregation. Now, you know, as I pointed out, the tithe was supposed to be for the children of Israel. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 34 clearly tells us that these are the commandments which God handed down to Moses for the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. And, you know, the thing is these pastors, they fail to point that out to their congregations. You know, it really makes you wonder which Jesus. Now, here's the thing. They pronounce a curse on those that aren't tithing. But which Jesus will pronounce a curse on somebody for not tithing their money? Is it
Jesus?
Is it the Jesus who is the Almighty Son of God that died on the cross for our sins, that went to Calvary to pay the price that we could not pay, the debt that we could not pay? The thing is they're pointing to another Christ. They're pointing to a Christ that will curse you if you don't prosper them.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
the money.
Exactly.
And see, Paul warned against that in more than one place. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he said, if any man bring to you another Christ, or another gospel rather, than that which we have preached, and then that which we have received, let him be accursed. Now,
yeah.
You know, we talk about the curses, okay? He said the pastors say that you'll be cursed if you don't tithe. God requires you to tithe or you're cursed. You're robbing him. Well, the exact opposite is true. The Bible reveals to us that if we do tithe, that we're cursed. See, if you go over into Galatians chapter 3 in verse 1 and read down through the first few verses, you'll find out that the Galatians were rebuked by Paul. The Apostle Paul said, O ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?
Yeah, bewitched.
That's the whole thing. They were bewitched into placing themselves back under the law, or under the law after they had already begun in the Spirit. And what did Paul say in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10? In Galatians 3 and verse 10, Paul told them that they would that anybody that submits to the law is subject to the whole law. You've got to continue in all the law. And you've got to continue in the works of the law to do them, or you're cursed.
Yeah. Yeah, so why aren't they having animal sacrifices at these temples to a strange god on Sunday?
Exactly. See, the thing is they're putting these people under the law, and by putting these people under the law, they're actually putting those people under a curse. Because, see, even the tithe thing they got wrong. According to the tithe, and I shared that part earlier, where Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 clearly says it was the seed of the land, the fruit of the tree, and verse 32 says it was every tenth animal that passed under the rod. It was agricultural, in other words. So when you are giving a monetary tithe instead of an agricultural tithe, and you're giving it because you are commanded by God to do so, according to that pastor, then you're putting yourself under a curse, because the Bible itself says that the tithe was agricultural, not monetary. Now, if you go over into James, chapter 2 and verse 10, you clearly see over there that it says if you offend in one point of the law, you are guilty of all the law. And they're offending in that one point of the law of tithing, because the law says that it's to be given to Levites, to widows, to orphans, to strangers in Israel. And so it was supposed to be agricultural, and it was supposed to be eaten. They're offending in all those points. So they're guilty of all the law, and therefore by putting themselves under that law, they're bringing themselves under the curse of the law.
Yeah, and the Bible says freely ye have received, so freely give. And like I said before, nobody has to tell a Christian to give. If somebody has to tell you to be a giver, there's something wrong with you. It's just we're supposed to be born again, and we're supposed to be born again and have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we're supposed to know how to behave. We don't need somebody beating us over the head every Sunday and every Thursday and every hour of the day on TV telling us that we're supposed to be givers. Yeah, I know that. And I also know that I can make my own decisions about who I'm going to give a gift to. I don't need anybody asking me.
Exactly, and we see that over in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and also chapter 4, where the people saw a need. And they weren't. If you read through those two chapters, actually read through the first four chapters, you don't see anywhere where Paul or Peter, rather, and John, you don't see anywhere where they told anybody to give money to the church, or to give to do this, or to give or to do that. But the people, when they trusted the Lord, the Bible said that 3,000 was added to the church that very same day at the end of Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, you see that when they trusted Christ, in Acts chapter 4, the multitude of them that believed agreed that there was nothing that they had that actually belonged to them. And they sold those that had land, extra land and houses and property, sold that property, and they took it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it wasn't that the apostles said, you've got to do this, God requires it. It was because the people had a heart of compassion. They saw there were others in need, and they saw they had something that they didn't need, and they decided that they was going to go ahead and they was going to put that money, that need, first rather than their wants. And they
sold
their property.
That's Christianity. That's Christianity.
In heart, exactly.
This is not Christianity, what we're seeing. And we need to we need a revival. We need a revival. You need to overturn those money changers' tables and put an end to this foolishness that they call Christianity when it's not Christian at all, not at all. So there might be some of you out there saying, well, Susan, then how am I supposed to get money? How am I supposed to get things? Well, you get a job. Maybe you get an education. Maybe you're good to somebody and they leave you some money. there's ways, but God certainly does not open up the windows of heaven. That's talking about rain. God doesn't have any money in heaven. I have news. He has no money up there. So he's not opening up the windows of heaven and raining down money into your bank account because you've been such a good person by tithing and sowing your seeds. That's works.
Exactly.
We don't need to work. To work God and bribe him. Just imagine this and get this picture in your head and tell your friends this picture. Jesus Christ walks up to you. Now, when you look at Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, are you going to hand him a $10 bill? Are you going to hand him a $1,000 seed faith offering? Are you going to do that to Jesus? Did anybody ever, the time that Jesus was on earth, did anybody ever do that to him? Never.
Never.
Never. And we are never to do that to Jesus. I don't care what Mike Murdoch says, Benny Hinn, or all the rest of those hypocritical Pharisees that they are. They're liars. They lie. And there was even somebody on the other day, that Brian Karn, the newest false prophet on the block, saying that, and you know, when Jesus went to the temple, he was looking at how everybody was giving, and he was noticing what they were giving. That's not what he was doing. He was looking at people, and he noticed the person that gave from her heart. That's
exactly
who he noticed.
Exactly. Well, you know, I was debating with a pastor from North Carolina just last week, over the last week and a half, I guess it was. But this pastor here tried to argue with me and tell me, you know, if we don't give our tithes, how is the gospel supposed to get out?
You have a mouth.
Yeah.
Doesn't
well,
cost anything
said,
to
you know,
open it.
That's what I said. Well, you know, the thing, here's what I told him. You know, he said, how's the gospel supposed to get out? He said, a plane ticket to Africa costs $2,000. You can't walk into the airport and say, I need to go to Africa to preach the gospel and expect them to put you on a plane for nothing. And that's true. I mean, you can't expect them to put you on a plane for nothing. But here's what I told him. And I had confirmation from a Nigerian friend. By the way, he did say Nigeria, Africa. He didn't say just Africa. But he said, how is a person supposed to get to Nigeria, Africa? Well, I have a Nigerian friend who confirmed what I had told him. And what I told him, I said, you know, here's the thing. You have a computer sitting in front of you. You're on the internet. You spend $50
a month on the internet. I'm in Nigeria right now. Yeah, I'm in Nigeria right now.
Exactly. You take and put your words on the internet and you send them through email, or you go into a chat room, or you go to a blog and you put that word out there for people that are in Africa, and they'll go out there. So he says, well, wait a minute. There's people in Africa that are not don't have electricity, that don't have electricity, that don't have computers, that can't get that word that way. Well, the thing is if you give your word, if you give the word that you've received to that person on the internet that lives in Africa, that's living closer to that person, it's going to cost far less to go to that person that doesn't have electricity. Because
not
that
only
person
that,
that's
well,
near
well,
them
tell
can
me
go.
Something. You mean there's not one Christian in Nigeria? I mean, there's nobody in Nigeria that can preach the gospel? Like, there's only people from this country that can go over to Nigeria and preach the gospel? We made a mess of the country of Nigeria. Most of these greedy preachers that went over there and taught those people over there how to be greedy and selfish. So you mean to tell me there's not one Christian in the whole country of Nigeria that has a Bible? What are they, crazy?
When I mentioned it on my Facebook page about this pastor, one of my Nigerian friends who lives in Nigeria told me, he said, we don't want your pastor. We don't want that pastor over here. He said, we have
pastors. Stay away.
Well, the thing is they already are dealing with their greedy pastors that
they
are teaching
are.
The tithe, that,
they
that
are
keeping them in poverty.
They're keeping them in poverty.
Right,
yeah.
And they're flying around in Lear jets. They're living in multi-million-dollar mansions and keeping the people in poverty. But, you know, he said, we don't need another tithe-taking preacher over here.
No. And not only that, I mean, hey, if you're so concerned about Nigeria, like, who's doing anything about rescuing those thousands of young girls that were kidnapped out of Nigeria? So that would be a good way to spend your money, and rescuing those children that were sold into slavery. Who's doing anything about that over there in Nigeria?
You know, is God more pleased with me? Would God be more pleased with somebody, with me or you, giving $2,000? To an airport to fly over there so we can preach to a crowd of 5,000 people, will he be more pleased if we take that money and buy food for 2,000 people?
Yeah.
To pay electricity for 100 people or whatever, however many people you can pay for. God wants us to look out for those that are poor and to have compassion on them. But what
it's another thing. They talk about we're going to ship containers over to these countries. Well, I have a better idea for you. Like, why don't you help support the national economy there and buy the goods right in the country, unless they're having a famine or something like that. But they have food in Africa. I've been to Africa. They have food there. Africa, been to Swaziland. Yet they had plenty of food there. They had houses, they had cars, they had TVs. They had stuff there.
Right. Well, you know, the thing is to give an example of how wasteful it is to buy a $2,000 ticket. I looked on the Western Union webpage to find out how much it would cost to wire $2,000 to a pastor over there that would be responsible with it, and to take that food and to distribute it to those that are in need in his community. Well, believe it or not, to wire $2,000 to Nigeria, Africa, it only costs $15.
Yeah.
Just $15. You know, now, is God more pleased with me spending $2,000 on a plane ticket, or is he more pleased with me giving $2,000 to somebody who's going to use that money for food for those that are starving?
That's it. That's it. God says he wants you to be wise. Wise.
Exactly.
So I don't travel anymore. I've done enough traveling. And I travel around the world right from my home over the internet. I pastor a mega church on the internet. So that's how I feel, you know. I don't have to collect 10%. I don't have to take up an offering. I don't have to beg anybody that I'm going down if you don't send me. And God gave everybody a mouth. Okay, yes, we know, it is true. If you're going to a building, I believe in supporting the work if you choose to, of course. If you're going there, yes, they do have expenses. That's very true. But you're supposed to know that. Nobody has to spend 15 or 20 minutes on Sunday beating you over the head for offerings and passing buckets and all that. You know, like, who passes buckets? Please. You're supposed to know that maybe you should walk up to somebody. I was in a church one time, and it was a pretty wealthy church, and I had been attending this church for a couple years, and there was somebody working at the church, actually working there. They had a family. It was a father with three children, and the mother had left the family. And this man is actually working there, and he was even doing some volunteer work for the church. He didn't even have enough money for a telephone. Now, imagine this. He did not have a telephone. And yet every Sunday they would beg you for offerings. And when Mike Murdoch came by one Sunday, they gave Mike Murdoch $10,000. And they bragged about it, how we gave Mike Murdoch $10,000 today. And yet here's this father of three children, no mother, living in a pretty rundown trailer there on the grounds, and no telephone. So I was like,
yeah,
there's something wrong here. You know, this is like when I started thinking to myself, there's something wrong here in this church, because at this time I was like a traveling evangelist, where I would travel around. And I was doing that. I was, you know, buying plane tickets and traveling around the world preaching. And I was doing that, and there was a couple other people in the church that were in full-time ministry work, really doing something, not just talking about it, really working at that time before the internet was big. And so nobody was giving me $10,000 to do my work. I could have, that $10,000 at the time, that was like almost my whole budget. And yet when Mike Murdoch came to town, in one morning, they ran up there, the people that knew me and knew the other people there in full-time ministry that were really had a heart for God, really wanted to preach the gospel just because we love God. And yet nobody was handing me $10,000, including my pastor. So it was a bit distressing. And then to see people run up on Sunday, like one greedy preacher after another, they would invite there. And one greedy preacher, he had if you gave him $99 seed, you could get a healing. And up runs this little old crippled lady with her check. And I'm in tears. I said, I can't take this. This is sick.
Rob widows' houses.
Yeah.
They rob
and
widows'
I'm thinking
houses.
To myself, I can't take this anymore. So I started preaching out of Peter a lot about making merchandise. Okay, well, yeah, they didn't like me either. They were trying to think of all kinds of ways to get rid of me. But so be it. I'm glad I got out of all that mess, and I got my head screwed on straight. And I trust God. I trust no man, because the Bible says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. So why are you putting your trust in Mike Murdoch? Why are you putting your trust in Benny Hinn? They don't care about you.
Well,
they care nothing about you.
And that's the thing, you know, and these preachers that are preaching the monetary tithe, they don't really care. They have a false sense of care, but they really don't care for you. You know, as I said earlier, they're putting you under the curse. I do encourage the listeners today to open their Bibles this afternoon and to read the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. The first 14 verses speak of the blessings that God gave to Israel if they would walk in his commandments and obey his commandments.
Yeah, his commandments.
Right. Well,
where did he ever say, give me your money? What did he ever say? Show me the money. Did God ever say, show me the money or else? Was that a command from God Almighty?
Right. Well, now see, if you look at the rest of that chapter, verses 15 and on down, you see that if the people did not obey the commandments, they was placing themselves under a curse. And the curse, and it wasn't just on the person who was not obeying, but it was on the family, it was on the nation, it was on the land. And that's what we see with the book of Malachi, where when the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes, or you're cursed with the curse, the land was cursed, because the priests of Malachi's day were robbing God by taking the tithes out of the storehouse where they were belonging. But the thing is,
well, Ron, didn't you know that the storehouse was the local church?
Well, that's what we're taught today, and that's why it's brought this nation under a curse. Look at the people around. I mean, I encourage you to read chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, 15, verses 15 and down, and you'll see that a lot of the things that are mentioned as being curses can be associated with the fact that people have placed themselves under the law. Now, verse 15,
yeah.
Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15 coincides with Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 that says that if the people do not keep the if the people put themselves under the law, they've got to keep that law. And God said, if you do not keep this law, this is what's going to happen to you. One of the things that was going to happen was people having sores all over, ulcers, people's daughters being given away to in marriage to strange men, men from other countries, and them not being able to do anything about it. And, you know, we're seeing that today. If you look through the news, you see things that are shocking about how that people are taking and kidnapping young girls to make them wives, and it's people from other nations.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, yeah. It's sickening. So if you look at it, you know, if you look at the curses of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you coincide them with the curse in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, and you look at Galatians chapter 3, you're going to see a correlation between those three passages. And you're going to see that when we place ourselves under the law by yielding to this command that God commanded to tithe our money, and of course we know it wasn't really God, it's a different God, but if you place yourselves under that, then you are opening your family, your house, your life, your car, your everything to a curse.
Yeah. Especially denigrating the Lord Jesus Christ as if he's some kind of a puppet master sitting up there in heaven, and he's waiting for you to lay money at his feet and wave money in his face. Now, please, who ever did that to Jesus? Did anybody ever treat him like that when he walked the earth? Never. And another thing, Jesus Christ didn't need any money. He was God. He never laid down his divinity. He knew it all belonged to him. So they tell you, well,
exactly.
You know, Jesus had to have a treasurer, or he had to have money to fund his ministry. He owned it all.
Well, you know,
tell me another person that knew. Did you ever meet a person, Ron, that could tell you there was money in a fish's mouth?
I've never seen anybody do it before. I've never seen it done before.
No.
But
never heard of one person.
Yep, Matthew chapter 17 clearly says that it was done, and we have to believe Matthew chapter 17. You know, the amazing thing about that, if we're supposed to tithe our money, how come Jesus didn't have him pull 10 fish out of the sea with coins in their mouths? Or how come he didn't have 10 coins in that fish's mouth so that they could tithe one of those things?
Yeah, exactly. Like when he found that coin, and that's a great point. Like, did he say, okay, let's take 10% off the top for the temple? No, he didn't say that. He said, pay your taxes.
Exactly. Well, a lot of people like to use that render unto Caesar, that which is Caesar's, unto God, that which is God's, too. And that they take out of context, too, because if you look at the scripture, if you look at the surrounding scripture there, you'll see that the question was asked, you know, should we pay tribute to Caesar? You know, and Jesus said, here's what you do. Bring me a penny. They brought him a penny. He said, whose image and superscription is on this penny? And they said, Caesar's. He said, well, you render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. In other words, this penny here belongs to Caesar. It has his image on it. It has his superscription on it.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say, render unto God that which is God's. And a lot of people like to take that verse and say, right there, proves that 10% of that penny belonged to God. No, that doesn't prove it at all. See, the thing is God's image and superscription is not on that penny at all. even though our government has written in God we trust, their God is not the God of the Bible.
No.
Their God is their own belly. And now if you look at the scripture now, see, it says that render unto God that which is God's. Okay, what does God have his image and superscription on? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, that we were made in God's image.
Yeah.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that we were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Romans
chapter
12. Yeah, so what more can you give God? What more can you give him? Some filthy money?
Romans,
you're going to wave in his face? No, he doesn't need your money.
Right.
No, God, people need your money. No, don't spiritualize it. God doesn't need your money.
Exactly. And Romans chapter 12 clearly shows it as well. Romans chapter 12, Paul was speaking the same thought that Jesus had in Matthew chapter 22 when Jesus said, render unto God that which is God. Paul said that we are to yield ourselves over to God, our bodies as a living sacrifice. See, there's that image of God put on us. And it's exactly what Jesus was saying. He wanted the people of his day, the Jews of his day, to yield themselves to God because God's image, they were made in God's image.
Yeah, yeah. So
it had nothing,
now,
it had
yeah, is that God's image?
Having.
Is that God's image flapping $1,000 seat faith offerings in his face?
Not at all.
It's disgusting. It's blasphemy. They're a bunch of blasphemers, and they don't mind it either. They don't mind doing it, and they don't mind taking advantage of people. And you have no business, like I said before, don't let them in your house. Keep those creeps out. Let them go creep somewhere else. I mean,
exactly.
It's an abomination. It's become a freak show out there.
Real quick, here's something that somebody brought to my attention a few weeks back that I really thought was interesting. They said that when you sow a seed, since you mentioned the seed offering, when you sow a seed in somebody's garden, you don't have a right to what grows in that garden. The man that owns the garden has the right to that.
Yeah.
So if your money is seed and you're sowing it into Mike Murdoch's pocket, you're sowing it into Benny Hinn's pocket or whoever else's, they have the right to use that as they see fit. You have no right to step into their garden and take any of that seed back.
Yeah. Well, they like to say, this is a famous one that they like to use, is whatever you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. You think that God Almighty himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, they're looking down from heaven, and they see you there, and they see you, and they see that little mind of yours going, wow, you know, I sure need some money today, and I sure need a new car, and I sure would like a bigger house, so I think I'm going to give somebody some money so I can get myself all those things that I want.
Well, you know,
come on.
You know what?
Get real.
You know what the wisest man in the world said? The wisest man in the world in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 16 said, He that giveth to the rich and he that oppresseth the poor, both shall come to want.
Yeah.
Now, think about that. Think about that. When we give money to Benny Hinn, to Mike Murdoch, to all these televangelists that are flying around in $24 million Lear jets and living in $22 million homes or $10 million homes or $12 million homes, however much they are, we're feeding their riches. We're feeding their belly. But both of us are going to come to want because we are going to have less, and one day they'll stand before God, and they're going to think that their riches or what's going to please him, and it's not.
Oh, no. I mean, I already went through that because after 15 years of tithing, and I was a faithful tither. I was born again in 1981, and I started tithing, and I tithed up until 1997 when I quit all that,
yeah.
When I realized that there was no scriptural basis for it. So, but I never had, there was periods where I had enough, and maybe there were some periods where I had an abundance, but for the most part, I was lacking, and then had even more lack. But since I stopped doing all that foolishness and that nonsense and just go about my way, trusting God and trusting Him to meet my needs, my life is much better than it ever was when I was trying to buy it.
Amen. Amen. And that's
bribe
it. We've got to rely on God's goodness and God's mercy and His increase in our life rather than our own.
Yeah, because there was I noticed that Paula White, for instance, she was talking the other day about, yeah, you can call me stupid if you want. And I'm like, yeah, well, you are stupid. Like, what? If you weren't so stupid, maybe you would know that the blessing of the Lord makes one truly rich and adds no sorrow with it. And so
Amen.
If you continue down your path of manipulating people and using witchcraft and all those means to get offerings, then you are stupid. Because it is much better to know that God Himself is meeting your needs. And you didn't
Amen.
Have to beg, borrow, and steal to have your needs met. That's
Amen.
A much better way to live. Much better.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. If we would just use our faith and place our faith in the right direction, not to the pulpit there in the little building, but rather to God Himself. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher
Amen.
Of our faith.
Amen.
You know,
nobody can provide better than Him.
Jesus Himself said that He would supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we have to stand on that promise. He said, you mentioned chapter 6 and verse 33 of Matthew earlier, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right before that, He said, consider the lilies. You know, I take care of the lilies of the field. I take care of the sparrows that fly. How much more am I going to take care of you if you'll just allow me to do it?
Yeah, allow Him to do it. Don't try to pay Him off. Don't keep trying to pay Him off to do it. How
exactly.
would you like it? How would you like it if people just came around you throwing money your way to get you to do things for them, and they were trying to buy your favor and buy your love? Don't you hate that? I hate that. You think God likes it?
It's very disgusting, and I'm sure it's a stench in God. If the people of God hate it, I'm sure God Himself hates it too.
Oh, He hates it. He has to. It says in the Bible He hates things. So yeah, He hates. There's things that He hates. A lying tongue, like these liars and deceivers that they call themselves Christian. God says He hates it. So I hate it too. And
Amen.
That's my main mission in life, is to overturn the money changers' tables and to help people to get into the Bible for themselves and to read and to be a real Christian. To be a real Christian.
Amen.
Not a phony Christian.
Exactly. You know, and I said something earlier about reaching people over in Nigeria and such. You know, just a quick thought. You know, you can give $1,000 to a church, and you know they can take that $1,000 and spend it on a plane ticket to go somewhere, or $2,000 to go to Nigeria or whatever. And they can do that, and they can go out there and they can speak to a crowd of maybe 4,000, 5,000 people, which is good to some extent. However, you know, over the last 30, and that only lasts for an hour or two, and then they're back on the plane and they're back in the States and back in their own home. But, you
That's
know,
it.
over the last 30 days on Twitter, rather, I have reached more than 24,000 people.
Excellent. You couldn't have had that kind of a crowd flying over there.
Exactly. And that's the thing. See, you can reach what I'm trying to get at as each one of our listeners. All they have to do is they can get on their Twitter account or their Facebook account and they can speak the truth, not what the pastors are saying, but speak the truth, speak what's written in the Word of God. And they can reach far more people. They can reach far more people than they could if they were giving that money to somebody who is going to spend it on a plane ticket.
Well, years ago we didn't have the internet, so if you were going to go, for instance, somewhere and you were going to refute these false teachings, you did have to go in person. But today you don't have to go so much because. Thank God we have the internet, because a little nobody knows who I am, and you go on YouTube and you get a couple million hits. Now, reaching millions of people with my little ministry and spending, shoestring budget, you know.
Right.
Very small. No jet, no mansion. No Rolls Royce, no buckets.
No fuel cost.
Yeah.
No fuel cost.
So, yeah, all I have to do is open my mouth and turn on my computer. So,
there you go.
No, these people don't need to be flying around in Lear jets going to preach somewhere. No, they don't need to do that. No, they really don't need to do that. I don't care if anybody has a Lear jet, if they work for it. That's fine. If you're smart enough to make $1 million or make hundreds of millions of dollars and make $1 billion, that's fine. You know, I don't have anything against people having money. I don't like the way most of these so-called Christians get their money, and they do it with witchcraft. Manipulate you. To get your money. That I don't like. No, they don't deserve jets. And, you know, long ago when I was into the prosperity message and to the Word of Faith movement, and I used to say, well, why does he keep talking about getting a mansion? Like, why is that so important? And then my friends in the Word of Faith would say, well, that's okay. You know, he can talk about it. And, I mean, it was irritating because you'd go to these conferences and all these preachers would talk about, for the most part, is what they had. Like, oh, I have a Rolex. I just got a Rolex, and I just got a mansion, and I just got a jet, and I just got all this stuff. And meanwhile, you little peons sitting out there in the pew, don't you wish you could be like me and have all this stuff? Yeah, I would have all that stuff, too, if I had, you know, 5,000 people coming to my church and I was taking 10%. From them every week. Yeah,
exactly.
I have all that stuff too. So you're
the example of
faith.
Well, the thing is they sit there and they'll say all that, but they'll turn around and they'll say, God blessed me. God gave this to me.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
God didn't give it to them. They robbed the people. That's what happened. If they're going to be honest, they need to be honest.
That's robbed the
people.
They even lie on God and say God gave it to them. No, God didn't give you that.
Yep.
No.
The thing is they're proving themselves to be extortioners.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Now, that's a good word, and that word's in the Bible.
The legal term for extortion is the taking of money by force or by manipulation.
Yeah.
Or under color of official right. And see, they say as pastors of the church, they have the official right to take the money. They say they preach fear. They'll manipulate you to get that money. They'll tell you that God requires it or you're robbing God. They'll tell you God requires it or you're going to be under a curse. So what they're doing is they're extorting money from their congregations. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 again, you'll see that one of the things that God said will not inherit the kingdom of heaven is the extortioner.
Yeah.
So these people if they really care for their pastor, if they want to see their pastor in heaven, they will not yield to his lie that God requires a monetary tithe.
Yeah, that's a good scripture to bring up because that's exactly what these preachers, these satanic preachers, because I'm convinced they're in the same coven, these people, because they basically all say the same thing. And it's diabolical, diabolical. And Yeah, they're not saved. No. People that extort money from you and lie about God, now they're not saved. No, because a saved person has a conscience. You will be convicted of sin.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
I know when
I sinned.
I know it.
I was surprised when Pastor Frederick Price, Frederick Price Jr., admitted that God, and he took people through all the scriptures and showed them that the tithe was not required anymore. And lately, it's more and more pastors that are coming to this. So I just can I have to pray that the Lord will open more and more eyes. T.B. Joshua, one of the biggest pastors out there in Africa, in Nigeria area, T.B. Joshua called for a conference with a bunch of his pastors and everything, and he told them that it is wrong, it's a sin to manipulate the people and force them to tithe. But he did say that God still requires a tithe, so he's not totally in the truth.
No, not T.B. Joshua, no. That would be a real miracle he got saved.
Yeah.
That'd be a real miracle.
He says it's a sin to manipulate the people or to force the people into
tithing. Yeah, well, he's still doing it. Yeah.
But he's still manipulating them by telling them that they were required to tithe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a funny thing when that's why Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because do you ever notice, like, especially in families, and probably everybody that has a family has gone through this. Like, you have the relatives that won't work, and then they want you to help them, and they don't want to ever do anything for themselves. So, like, they pick on the old grandma, or, they find an easy mark. Or, like, if the family has, the parents have a little bit of money, and then the kids are all fighting. When the parents die, then the family all starts fighting over the money. And so did you ever notice, like, money, sometimes the love of money, like the Bible says, is the root of all evil. How people act there's a little bit of money, and even like a little bit of money.
Money will cause the most evil of actions to come out of the heart.
The most evil.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be any break-ins. There wouldn't be any robberies. Like, people would work and get their own money and stop trying to think of ways to get money from other people. Now, there's nothing
exactly.
wrong with receiving a gift. I mean, there's nothing wrong with receiving a gift. As long as the people that were giving you the gift wanted to do it from their heart. And you didn't manipulate them to give the gift. You didn't call them up and start telling them all your troubles. Now, there's nothing wrong with friends sharing their troubles, okay? But if you're only calling people to tell them your troubles because you want something, then that's called manipulation.
Exactly.
That's manipulation.
And, that's the whole thing. We need to be aware. We need to be aware of what's going on and what the pastors are saying. We need to be studied up. When the pastor opens the Bible to Malachi chapter 3, we need to be aware that Malachi chapter 3 was rebuking the priests of Israel and had nothing to do with the church of God. We need to be aware not just with Malachi chapter 3, but with any chapter that the pastors bring out in a sermon. We need to look at the surrounding context. We need to ask ourselves, who is this speaking to? Who is this addressing? What part of the country? Is this for the new covenant? Is this for the church? Or is it for Israel alone? See, the tithe itself was a part of the commands given to Israel. I gave the verse earlier out of Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 34. But here's one that seals the deal. Chapter 147 of Psalms. Psalms 147, verses 19 and 20, tells us that God gave the commands to Israel alone and that he had not dealt with any other nation. God did not give the tithing commands, which was part of the commands that God gave to Israel. He didn't give them to any other nation. You will not find a single verse in the New Testament that says, God amended his command of tithing to be tithes of money, nor will you find a verse that says God amended it to a tithe for churches on Gentile soil.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that some people, they don't read their Bible, but I know myself, I spent probably 3 months, and that's all I did was I studied every scripture on giving. I studied every scripture on seed. I found out seed was never money. No, seed has no life. It has no life. So there's no such
exactly.
thing as seed faith. Oral Roberts was very clever when he made that thing up. But and his ministry wound up going bankrupt. So he lost his university, and Richard was basically kicked out of Tulsa. So seed faith didn't work, and he was also arrested for drunk driving, Richard Roberts, because maybe his conscience was bothering him, so he had to start drinking. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. But the seed was never money. And anyway.
Right. If you take that money, if you take your money, when the pastor says that that it's seed, if you take tell him you'll take that seed and plant it in your own garden. You know, if you
try to put a dollar bill in the ground and see what happens.
Right, right. If you put a dollar bill in the ground, you know, it could be 1,000 years past and you're still not going to see a money tree.
Oh, dear. You know, it's so ridiculous. It's just, I can't believe, I know that one time I was telling some friends of mine, because I had done this study, I found out the truth for myself. I found out tithing was never money, and I found out there was no such thing as seed faith. And I found that all out because I read my Bible. So when I started sharing with my friends, and this is like back in the in the late 90s, and I would share with my friends, and I had one friend say to me, "Well, that's because you don't go to church anywhere. That's why you don't tithe." I'm like, "Well, you know, that's not the reason I don't tithe. I happen to read the Bible." I found out, and they didn't want to hear it. You know, they heard, and I love David Wilkerson. I have nothing against David Wilkerson, but, you know, they heard from David Wilkerson that they had to tithe, and because David Wilkerson said that they had to tithe, they didn't care what Susan Puzio said. You know, who's she?
Right. Yeah, and that's the problem. See, that people put their pastors above anybody else,
yeah.
and they think that, you know, other people, God can't speak to anybody today except the pastor.
No, and if you're not famous, like, who are you to say anything?
Exactly. But, you know, the thing is the Bible says that those who will be great will be the least among you, and the least will be the greatest.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it was okay. I went on my merry way. You want to tithe? Fine. You know, if that's what you want to do, fine. Okay? But you don't have to curse somebody that's not tithing. I know that my life is a lot better than it's ever been from when I was trying to do all those things that I thought I was required to do. And then I was so afraid of God. I mean, my goodness, if I didn't run down to the church on Sunday and put my 10% in there, I was so afraid God was going to curse me. And I remember one time I made a vow, and I had to pay that vow. I was so afraid that if I didn't pay that vow, I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And that's the fear I lived in.
And, you know, that's the sad thing about it is so many people, they do live in fear because of what the pastor preaches from the pulpit. That's not even biblical.
No. No. And then, of course, the Word of Faith preachers will tell you, well, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But yet, man, they were always putting fear on you. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
they say this is the word of faith movement. And there was so much bondage in the whole thing.
And that's the whole thing, you know. The whole thing is it's bondage. And, you know, I made a meme sometime back, a couple years ago, I guess it was, of a picture of chains breaking. And I wrote on it that Second Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, that tells us that each man is to give as he purposeth in his own heart to give.
Yeah, not out of necessity. Not because you have to.
Right. Now, see, if you look at that word purposeth, if you looked it up in the Greek, you would find it was translated from the Greek word proeriomai. And that word proeriomai actually means to choose for oneself. So you have to ask yourself, how am I choosing for myself what I'm going to give when I'm listening to the pastor dictate to me that I have to give 10%?
Yeah, well, you even see these preachers bring up that scripture. And then they're giving you the liberty to give cheerfully. And then they turn around and then they start manipulating you again. So they plant the thought in your head that you have freedom, but then they turn right around and do the witchcraft.
Right. They manipulate you by telling you have the freedom to give, but what the freedom to give is that 10% tithe.
Yeah. And
you know.
And of course, you know, tithing is not really giving, they tell you, because that belongs to the Lord. So everything that you give after the tithe is really giving.
And yet they have no scriptural support whatsoever for that.
No, any rational thinking person, like we said before, if you think about Jesus and his ministry on the earth, did he ever preach anywhere that the tenth belongs to me and you must give it to me first, and then
he didn't.
Everything else you give is giving. Did Jesus ever say that, or did he ever do that? No. So
never.
Our guide is the New Testament. Whatever Jesus did, whatever the apostles did, but number one, Jesus, because we're supposed to follow his example. So
exactly.
Whatever he did, that's what we do. We don't do anything else. We don't follow Mike Murdoch, Benny Hinn, Paula White, Rod Parsley, Todd Kuhn, Steve Muncy, the Cirillos. They're not saved.
They're
not born again. There's no fruit in their lives. They're con artists.
Exactly.
They're all con artists. All of them. And I hope and pray that these people get saved, because how are they going to stand before God one day and answer to God for how they have portrayed the Lord Jesus Christ and his
church?
Well,
you know, that's the thing. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 tell us exactly how they're going to answer God. They're going to say, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I do many wonderful works in your name?
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you.
That's what he's going to say.
You know, and that's the whole thing. They think they're doing things for God. They're using the name of God for their own gain and their own glory. It's not for God's glory. It's for their glory, because they're building up their empires here on this earth. They're building their material barns, like the man in Jesus' parable who said, I'll tear down this barn and I'll build a greater barn so I can have more. And that's exactly what these pastors and preachers are doing.
Yeah, that's what they've done. That's what they've done. Even when you look at TBN and they tell you, we need money because we have to preach the gospel. Look, TBN doesn't need another penny. They're worth $1 billion. So if they need money, they need to start selling off some of their real estate or cashing in some of their money. They don't need any more money from you. They make a fortune on selling airtime. And no, they don't need any more of your money. They've got mansions all over the place, and Paul Crouch Sr. had a $50 million jet. So, no, if you ever see Jan Crouch or Matt or Lori, just, you know, tell them, look, why don't you sell your house or your jet? You need money to preach the gospel? Like, it's time for you to sacrifice. Don't be telling me to sacrifice. Like, it's time for you to sacrifice, okay? Don't tell me to sacrifice and you're living in a mansion.
Exactly. And, you know, their
get a life.
Churches or their ministry is paying for their mansion. They don't. All that is tax-free to them.
Yeah. They don't care about you. They don't care anything about. God is not requiring you to sacrifice. Jesus already was a sacrifice. So
amen.
God's not looking down and saying, you better sacrifice and give that $5. Give your last money away. No, don't give your last money away and take food out of your children's mouth and don't pay your light bill and your mortgage and all that and rob other people so you can give the money to some preacher? What are you, nuts? What is wrong with you?
Exactly.
Come out from that mesmerism and that hypnotism. Get free of all that.
Susan, I'm on my Magic Jack account. My Magic Jack
account.
Okay,
so we're about finished anyway. We're finished.
Yeah,
we've got four more minutes, so I'm going
to
do my closing. But I want to thank you, Ron. Great to talk with you again, and we'll do it again because it's a great.
It was a blessing.
Yeah.
It was a blessing, and I look forward to the next time. All I can say is tell the people to stay in the Word, to study the Word in context, and don't just believe the Word that's being spoke from the pulpit. If it doesn't line up with what the Scriptures are saying, then you are to reject it.
Yes, and Ron's got some books on Amazon, Ron Roby. And you can check out his books there. They don't cost a lot of money. They're very inexpensive. And these are good books for you to pass out to other people. So I recommend that you check out his books on Amazon, Ron Roby, R-O-B-E-Y, and Facebook. You have a public Facebook page, right?
I have a public Facebook page, and a lot of my articles I have on my Facebook page over the last couple of years, and I've got several of them on there that people are welcome to come and look at and grab and share and pass out with friends, whatever they want to do.
Amen. All right, then. God bless you. Thank you for coming on. Thanks, everybody, in the chat room today. And
thank you, Susan.
Okay, God bless. Linda, thanks for putting up the scriptures and all the comments from everybody today. Anyway, the most important thing is that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you give your life to him today. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of the Spirit of God, and then you're born of your first you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Read the third chapter of John. Read the book of Romans. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he was born of a virgin. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Jesus Christ will give you a brand new life today. Being born again is a very real experience, and you can have a total brand new life, and all your sins can be forgiven. No matter what it is that you've done, God will forgive you and forget about it, and he wants you to do the same. So ask Jesus Christ into your life today and ask him to forgive you of your sins and receive your brand new life. God bless you. Thank you, everybody.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's there. hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.